You are the man now, dog. 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 You are the man now, dog.
What's up, everybody, and welcome back to the Man Dog Pod. My name is Ryan Rosenberg, and I am your host with some, and I'm joined here by my main man, Mr. Daniel Lippert. What's
Hello,
up, Dan?
Hello, the host with the sum.
The host with the sum of it. Yes, that's right. That's right. And today, folks, it's a big check-in where the two hilarious hosts put down the joking for a while, and we just sort of talk.
We can't
be. We check in and we see how we are.
Yeah, we can't be hilarious all the time.
Well, we could.
We could try.
Yeah, we could.
We could try to be a little more purposeful about being funny. What do we think?
I could be funny all the time, no matter what, if I wanted to.
I was just thinking about this today. I'm glad we jumped right into it because, and then I was like, I'm going to bring this up if we do a conversation episode.
Great.
You and I, we don't throw a joke or a bit into someone's story that often. Yes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But there are people who do that, comedians who do that. And I think I'm fine with it generally if I'm able to get back to my story. Uh-huh. Or like, I can't think of a good scenario, but like if I'm just like talking about whatever, I was talking to my mom and when I was a kid growing up, we would talk about this. Yes. And someone goes like, mama, don't talk or whatever. And it's like,
yes.
And then someone else heightens the bit and you do a little joke. Yes. I was trying to figure out there is no clean way to get back into your story when everyone knows it's time to. And mm-hmm. So some people will be polite enough to be like, so Dan, you were saying about your mom.
What were we saying?
Yeah.
It's a must because you're sort of telling the whole room, let's focus back on Dan.
Yeah. And yes. I don't know how to do that if it's not being given back to me without being like, so, like, there's no clean.
Like, or like I was saying.
Anyway, yeah. Because yes. I guess now that I'm talking about it out loud, what happened was rude. Yeah. And so I don't know how to, like, make it normal again.
Right. Yeah, I noticed that too. I definitely do it as well. But I don't know how to, it's graceful. It's a graceful move to, reclaim your time without like shunning anybody or shaming anybody, even though you may want to.
Yeah. I'm sure somebody could make a super cut of me doing that on this very podcast a bunch of times.
Oh yeah.
But my intent, and I know intent versus impact, the impact is what matters. Usually my intent when I make a joke like that is it's like a little alley-oop, and then we want to get back to it. But sometimes it becomes like a full court offense. And it's like, oh, that's not what I meant. And I'm sorry I did it.
Right, right. No, you're graceful. You do a good job.
Hey,
I think it shows a lot if you do the like, and what were you going to say?
Right.
Because it's like, no, I do want to hear what you have to say. I'm not trying to, whatever. We just didn't want to all miss a fun moment.
Yeah.
You know, but there is a fine line for sure.
Even on the, so what you were going to say, I'm not great if someone's teed me up again at being like, I'll be like, oh yeah. As if I'd forgot.
I'm sorry.
As if the whole time I wasn't like, I know exactly where I was cut off. I can start that sentence right in the middle.
Right. Right. Yeah. A little bitter. You feel a little bitter about it. Was it me?
No, it wasn't you. It was.
Was it at Walk Boy Night?
No. It happens quite frequently, and I heard it happen on another podcast. And I was thinking about the times it's happened to me, and I felt unable to, properly get back into where what my intent was without that little massaged moment in back into it. Like there's no perfect. Anyway, you know, or whatever, that doesn't have, it's not loaded.
Right. It's almost, you know, like that email signature that's like, as per my earlier email, that like was initially for just clarification, but now is code for like, bitch, scroll down.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you already read this and you're making me repeat myself. So yeah, there's a, That's interesting. Comment on the episode if you have a graceful way to take back the power.
Yeah. Take back the interruption power.
The interruption power. I interrupt them. I interrupt their joke and say, not funny.
Not funny. My story, interesting. Your joke, bad.
Yes. That's a thing that I had to learn. It's got to be pretty funny to be worth an interruption.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Everybody doesn't want funny all the time. If things are already interesting, they don't need to be super interesting. We're already good. We're happy. Just let it go.
And we're trying to all be working on the same goal. So the story that's being told is the goal. And when the story is done, I bet there will be a whole group funny happening. But if someone's mid-story and it's just like little bit like thrown in there, then it's like, oh, I'm sorry. Yes, you wanted to be talking more than you wanted to hear my story.
Yes, you hated that the attention was on other folks. And that made you freak out a little bit, didn't it? That we weren't all looking at you and applauding you.
Yeah. And now we're coming onto a new pet peeve, which is once it was highlighted for me, I couldn't forget it. I think Mick...
We're doing peeves today, folks.
Mick Napier, I think, in his book about improv that I can't remember what it's called at the moment, but...
Improvise? Is that
it might just
it
be improvise, yeah.
Yeah.
His book about improv, I don't know what it could be possibly called, but he talks about interrupting and what you're saying when you interrupt somebody or when you talk right when someone's sentence is finished. Mm. And like what you're saying is, I'm not listening to you. I'm formulating my own opinion and I can't wait till this becomes about what I have to say.
Right, right, right.
And I do it 100%. Everybody does it. But I try to be mindful about it. And like, I am very aware when people are interrupters and then you like continue your thought. And then right when you're done, they say the same sentence they interrupted you with because it's been playing in their head over and over while they've been not listening to you.
Right. Yes, I'm familiar.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just thinking about that.
It's frustrating. And it's also like, if you try to call someone on something like that, even gently, they of course don't like it.
No. But man.
It's like, well, hey, I'm not being mean to you telling you my feelings were hurt.
Mm-hmm.
You were being mean to me originally. You know what I mean?
100%. Like the we live in a culture where, I don't know, we live in a culture. Who knows if that's true? But
you're in trouble. You've turned into a guy.
My feeling is, the culture is, my feeling is that, what was I going to say about that now? It's the Trump thing. Being really mean to people all the time and then becoming the most offensive when somebody has called you mean, as if you're the one that's hurt, but it's like you were the aggressor. We were talking about this with the...
Yeah, you just are like, well, my thing is never listening and driving home my point no matter what the other person said.
Yeah.
And if they don't agree, they're being crazy.
And what... I was just talking to somebody else about this. A friend of the show, I think, Rachel Van Ness. We got a burrito together. And she was talking about like different books on communication and stuff like that. And one of the things we were talking about is like, if you can, with people like that, really exist on fact and remove your feeling, which is really hard, but be like, oh, sorry, you just interrupted me there.
Yes.
What can they say?
Nothing.
I can't say I didn't.
Yeah, absolutely.
But if you're like, you're not listening to me, I am listening to you. I just wanted to say this. It's like, no, you just interrupted me there. I just want to point that out. And then it's like, yes, do what you want with that info.
Yes, absolutely. So good.
Yeah.
So interesting.
We were talking about it.
Book,
oh, God.
Yeah. What book was it she was saying?
Dude, my recall of anything sucks so much. I have to write everything down.
That's all right.
I'll check in. But we were talking about like with giving notes in comedy and stuff like that. And like I went through a lot of experiences with coaching as like I would coach personality a little bit. I would coach team dynamic. I would be really sensitive to everyone's feelings about everything that was happening. That is all so subjective. And the easiest thing to do is actually just be like, these are the facts of what happened and do or don't do what you want with that. And you're not hurting anyone's feelings. Or if you are, that's their inability to deal with facts.
Totally. Totally. And it's like, I'm not here to change you all individually. I'm here to teach one subject.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like I would get lost in that. It's like, I'm not here to be everybody's individual helper. I'm the expert on this one thing that they're asking me about. I should stick to that.
Yeah. It's huge.
You know, it's like
delusion of grandeur that I had, I think. I'm just like, I can fix everybody here.
Yeah. I still have that in many ways, I'm sure. You know what I mean? As I speak into my computer and release it to the public and hope that everybody loves me.
Do you, everybody?
Does everybody love me enough? No! No, I'm just kidding. I feel very loved. You know what I did yesterday? I went out to a Dodgers game with a friend of the pod, the very loved Victoria Longwell.
Yeah.
She took me out to a Dodgers game, and it was amazing. We sat behind home plate, way up top. Incredible seat.
That's great.
Really, really fun. And we sat in the shade. It was hot as hell. And I was still sweating, but we were in the shade. It was just, what a pleasant day.
You liked it. You had a great time.
Echo Park.
Good game.
What's that?
Good game.
The Cardinals lost. Of course, Victoria is a big Cardinals fan. And they unfortunately lost. And I was quietly cheering with her for the Cardinals. But of course, I was happy to see my boys in blue take one home.
There we go.
But yeah, then it was really nice. We just walked and had some drinks and hung out and just really good to like see a friend. And we were both just in awe of like, this was really a Sunday. You know what I mean? This was really like, we just were out. I took a lift there and then we walked all through Echo Park and I took a lift home, which I haven't done in a while. And you really feel untethered. You know what I mean?
Without
having to bring my body anywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No worry about the car.
Nothing to get back to. Yes, exactly.
That's a nice day.
It was really pleasant. We missed you, but of course you were b-balling, which I also want to hear about.
No news there. No news.
No dunks. Didn't dunk?
Oh, week? I dunked it five times.
Whoa! From zero to five.
No news there. I'm trying to get. I'm in a middle zone. Trying to talk less. As far as like talking shit to people on my team specifically.
On your team?
Yeah.
Because you, get frustrated at the gameplay?
Yeah. Well, I was doing the math in my head last night, or yesterday as I was watching and stewing on the bench. And this has come up a million times, so people know this story here, but because of my skill set and size and that I've never gotten better at dribbling, I am at the whim of whoever my point guards are in a certain game.
Right.
So even though I will be guarded by someone who is 1 foot shorter than me and 100 pounds shorter than me.
Seems obvious where to go.
I have to demand the ball. That's what I learned. But if I do that three times and I miss one of those or I turn it over or whatever, it's a lot of work to get the ball back. And then when I score, people are like, whoa, yes, great, whatever. And it's like, this will happen more than half the time if we do it.
Right.
But I was counting.
Again, he's a foot shorter.
Yeah. There's other guys, like the guys who are better point guards, more ball dribble, like ball dominant, whatever, who will go 1 for 7, 1 for 8, and keep shooting.
Right. Right.
And it's like the wiggle room I have is so much less that started to frustrate me of like, dude, you just missed 6 threes. Totally. But you won't give me the ball if I turn it over once or, you know, or even if I make the right play and pass out of a double team and the guy I passed to misses his three. It's like, okay, that play doesn't work. And it's like, no, we got the right shot. But all that being said, that's the way it is. It's the way it will always be. So it's like, what's my relationship to this? And yesterday it was just, I'm just not talking during the game. I'm getting a good workout. I'm going to be aggressive when I want the ball and get it. And just like, that's it. And
how'd that feel?
Like I'm a madman. I felt like a lot more intense. I felt like Kawhi. You know what I mean? Just like
pent up, like you wanted to talk.
Yeah. And just like, it's people know what I'm like. I'm generally like jovial and whatever. And it's like, well, he's not doing that.
Yeah.
But it's just bringing in the mood that I'm in. That's kind of the fun thing about it. It's like you just get to show up and do it.
Yeah, it's a nice different hat to wear.
Yeah.
You don't have to be everybody's likable, laughing comedian. You get to like compete and whatever. Yeah. Well, that's interesting. It's interesting that your goal is to talk less.
Just to like, nobody wants to, I said this on the Ronnie and Khalif episode, nobody wants to like show up and get yelled about what they did wrong. It's like the Sunday fun game. And it's like, great. One guy's selfish. I have a feeling he's always going to be selfish and me yelling at him is not going to change him. And so it's like, what's the point of just letting that aggression out?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally.
But I want to circle back to baseball. Baseball exists to me in the same zone as karaoke a little bit, where I'm pretty embarrassed, mm-hmm. or not embarrassed, but like, it's one of those things that everyone's like, man, it's so fun. We should do this more often. And I'm like, for me, it's not. And like, I feel really bad because it's like one of those plans where everyone, it comes up and everyone's like, yes, we got to do more baseball. We got to. And I'm like, yesterday was, if I hadn't been playing basketball, the perfect option, which was you being like, hey, meet up afterwards. And that's, I'll do that. Everybody have a blast of the game and I'll come by after and I'll get the best parts of it without like the back pain, the heat, and that's the game that I find relatively hard to follow when you're seeing it live. I find
the game to be so boring.
Yeah.
The game is so boring. I was telling Victoria the other day, like, I'll look up and it'd be like, oh, it's the sixth inning. I don't think I've watched a single pitch. I don't know what I've been looking at.
Yeah.
Because all that's in front of me is a stadium of baseball and the person to the right of me. But I think I was probably just annoying the people around me because me and Victoria just talked the whole time.
Yeah.
You know, like there's no quietly watching the game. It's like, so what are you doing? What do you know? It was like being at a restaurant almost and just like having a meal.
Yeah.
Which we did. Had a Dodger Dog surprise.
Nice.
Freaking good.
Nice.
But yeah, I hear you on the baseball thing. When I go, it's more about like spending a day at the ballpark and almost like the nostalgia of eating a hot dog.
Right.
Like, because I don't eat hot dogs just anywhere else, really, other than like an event or a theme park or, you know, it's like, it's that kind of day where you're like, oh, I'm going to have a couple beers outside.
Yeah.
You know, and so that was the most enjoyable part. Albert Pujols did come up. He's like a... He just hit his 700th home run the other night and he struck out and everybody clapped for him. And that felt kind of nice.
Yeah.
It was apparently important to him, but
I felt so out of touch because Devin posted a video of him and Victoria at that game on Friday where he hit the home run and Victoria was like, I think crying in it. And I was like, oh, first of all, I knew she cared, but I didn't know she cared that much. And second of all, like I have no context for this. Like when, obviously when like Bonds and Sosa were doing their thing, like everyone was talking about it. This was like, I would have had no idea if it just didn't happen to happen at a Dodgers game where a few of our friends were.
Same for me. And he's like in the 700 club and there's like four guys.
Yeah.
It's like him, Barry Bonds, Hank Aaron, and Babe Ruth. There's some, I could be wrong on that. But it is like a crazy record for them. And it's like, oh, I guess don't care about that.
Yeah.
Like it doesn't mean anything for me at all.
It's an interesting, like everything is like a cultural split. And that feels like one too, where it's like, why isn't baseball popular? And it's like, I don't know, 4 hours of obvious Republicans walking back and forth and like moving at like the slowest speed possible until they get a hit. Is like just, I can't obvious sustain 4 hours.
Yeah, that's funny. Well, it was a nice day at the park and a nice day with a friend,
which was
the real event.
Yes.
You know, the Dodgers, I didn't even wear any Dodgers insignia. You know what I mean? It's not about the game.
Yeah.
It's about the love.
Definitely envious of a nice friend hang, doing the game, doing the walk down the street.
And I think because of the way I live my life where like every day I work, but also every day kind of feels like a day off. Like, I never have like my week and my weekend. Mm-hmm. And this really felt like a nice weekend day. You know what I mean? It felt like, oh, we got nothing to do today, but go to a ball game, have a drink, and then go home, watch Game of Thrones. It's going to be fantastic.
Yeah.
You know, clean my house a little bit. It was a really nice sort of just a reset to see a buddy and have no responsibility that day. And it was cool.
That's nice.
So coming into this week, feeling refreshed. Had a little Mandog meeting earlier. Now we're doing this. I mean, my life is good.
That's lovely to hear, especially because we started our last meeting with everyone saying, how are you? And everyone barely mustering up the energy to say, fine.
Totally. Well, it's like, you know, give it 90 seconds. Yeah. That's what I've learned. It's like, I can't just feel bad once in the morning and then go like, oh, I hate it. I hate my day. It's like, what else, man? You got other feelings.
Yeah.
It's okay to cycle through them, you know? Every once in a while, I do just feel very lucky that I get to do this as a job and all the stuff we do, you know? And hopefully it leads to even more stuff as a job so that I can have a nice life.
Have I Have I talked about this? I've got the new weekly planner that's going to change everything.
Oh, it will. I can't wait to see you next week. You'll be so different.
Oh my gosh. All right. So here's the first weekly planner of the year. Mm-hmm. Didn't work. Sorry.
Too small.
But I liked the idea of it. It's a Hobonichi Techo or whatever it's called. And it's, I think we talked about this. It's a, 5-year planner. So I can every day I can see what I did the same day last year. I like that. Mm-hmm. But it was hard to write it, whatever.
Sure.
Went to Koreatown, got myself another journal. It's a little easier to write in. And just
bigger?
Still small because I want something I can it's about the same size, but it's less thick. So I can keep it in my fanny pack.
Yeah.
And the thing that has been killing me, I don't know if you have a strategy for this, is I'll be walking around and be like, fuck, gotta email Jeff. And then that's just a thought that exists in my brain. And it's like, oh, gotta email this guy from Toronto. Oh, gotta check in with Big Grande about this thing. And then they will all just be here and they will create like a huge internal anxiety that my brain is not able to parse apart the importance of these things, just that it knows they need to be done. And so I'm like hoping that having this physical thing on me to release those thoughts will be helpful.
That's what I do. I keep a running to-do list and then I schedule my week and take the things from the to-do list and put them into places in the week where I feel that they will not be annoying to do.
Yeah.
And then I go like, well, all I have to do is check my little sheet every day.
That's nice.
Because I go crazy the same. How I normally operate is like what you're saying. I just sort of like manically go through whatever pops up, but I kind of enjoy that when I'm working.
Yeah.
But when I'm not working, it's really hard to hold all of that rotating information.
Yeah.
So you got to put it somewhere. I think you're on the right path.
We'll see.
The trick for me is remembering to use the notebook and setting some sort of schedule with it.
Yeah, exactly. Getting on a routine.
Like every morning, every night. I think that's the big one. Every night you got to plan tomorrow.
Yeah.
And then every morning, you got to have some sort of routine that looking at that notebook is part of.
I wonder what the best morning routine is for me right now and what other people do. But now I've decided with this journal we talked about a little bit, whatever my first commitment is, I'm up 2 hours earlier. I'm going on a walk and I'm just doing the things that, like, that need to be done.
Right.
I wonder what other people's things are, especially people who like work full-time Monday to Friday jobs. Mm-hmm. Do you get up at 6 a.m. and go to the gym? Do you go to the gym after 5? Or are you doing what I would do, which is lamenting that life and gaining weight insanely and also eating crazy unhealthy?
I've heard that, from a lot of high-performance individuals, that you always try to take care of yourself first in the morning. So that no matter what, you're taken care of.
Right.
And then the rest of the day, of course, you're going to be putting out fires or responding to people or whatever. But you know that's coming. So to not take care of yourself first is like sort of setting it up for sabotage.
Right.
But I can't wake up at 6 in the morning if I'm not going to bed until 3.
Yeah.
Or 2 or whatever it is. That's my issue is I need to set a bedtime alarm.
Right.
Instead of a wake-up alarm. It's like, if you're not in bed by 1, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. But lately it's been when I've been most productive. It's been so weird. Like I'll do what we're talking about of just like manically be on the computer and do like 5 tasks at once. I'll be like checking on our tour plans and then also remembering to send that email and then whatever. And it's like, I kind of like it, but it's also like, I think I would be healthier to just wake up in the morning, do all that shit in the morning and then not have it all day rather than like procrastinate on it all day and do it at night, which is kind of my schedule.
This reminds me of that listener you talked about that hit us up and was like, sounds like from listening to you guys that you might have ADHD.
Right.
And what I've been thinking about with that is what is my hesitance to accept that as a possible truth?
Mm-hmm.
Why would I care? Like, I really... He wrote that and I was like, no, I don't.
I love your attitude.
If somebody else told me they had ADHD, I'd be like, cool. Yeah. Glad you know it.
Right.
Glad you have a way to address it. I have no judgment for you. Mm-hmm. Power to the people.
Right.
But like, like a lot of things, I can see my own negativity projected on other people sometimes, like whether it's like body shame. Sometimes I'll like feel that about myself, but there are like times I'll see someone and I'll feel something about them and I'll be like, that's my own body shame that's coming out right there. But with this, I don't feel like that. But I mm-hmm. still was like, in the moment, no, I don't. I don't have ADHD. Right. And I'm interested about my own response to that message.
What do you think it is? I wonder what you're sure it is, if you're sure that it isn't something else. And I'm not saying I think you do. I just, the other side of the coin of that thought, I wonder.
Well, it's kind of, the thing it makes me think of is when I was certain I had colon cancer. Uh-huh. But I didn't get it checked out because it was like, before you get it checked out, why not cut out coffee, cut out fast food,
right?
Eat healthy for a month and see if you're having the same issues.
Right.
And I kind of feel that way with ADHD, where it's like, well, before I think I have that, maybe it's actually that like I have no real job, at that mm-hmm. everything I do is based solely on my own work. That there is no boss and no leader, and I just struggle with the management of that because I never learned it.
Sure.
And it's like, maybe I want to look at that before I look at the other element of it.
And maybe in looking at that, you'll find the same answer anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's like, you know, right. when you go to a doctor and you're like, I think I have a disease. And they're like, well, first let's put you on the FODMAP diet. Every doctor fucking yes. loves FODMAP. It's every doctor's answer to everything.
What is FODMAP?
It's the worst thing ever because
the elimination thing.
Yeah, it's like, all right, it's because I'm trying to eat healthy. So it's like, well, I got to eat healthy. I'll have broccoli. I like that. I'll have Brussels sprouts. I'll have more beans. And then like, we're putting you on FODMAP. It's the healthy diet. No broccoli, no Brussels sprouts, no beans, right. no like kale or big leafy greens. It's like a lot of yams, I guess. I don't know. Mm. And sweet potatoes and like,
stuff that just absorbs and cleans or something.
Yeah, maybe it's absorbs yeah. and cleans, but it's it feels like that for me, where it's like, let me do the proper thing before I immediately self-diagnose or seek out a diagnosis.
Yeah, yeah, right. I appreciated the rest of that listener's comment saying like, I read this book and one of the things they talk about is like not rushing to self-diagnosis, but whatever. And I was like, that's good, because that's sort of how I want a solution.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So like, whatever the solution is, I want to get to it fast, even though that's not how things work well typically.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't think even if you do find that you have ADHD or whatever, you just like start Adderall and stop thinking about it.
Right.
I think it's like, oh, okay, now this is a thing I can learn about and see the patterns of, and either way, it's going to take dealing with the symptoms, right? It's like the symptoms are what's frustrating.
Yeah.
So just finding out that that's the reason for them doesn't make it go away.
Yeah. You
know, I think we're saying the same thing.
Totally.
Here, but yeah, I definitely struggle with that kind of stuff. I actually talked to my psychiatrist about it to overshare on the podcast a little bit. And he was saying the same thing. He's like, well, let's just adjust the one medicine you're already taking a little bit before we like add in a new medicine. And also like, do you stay up all night and sleep in all day? I get why it feels like you're behind. You know right. what I mean? And he was like, yeah, there are a lot of things that can make you feel out of sorts. And if you dial all them in one at a time, you know, maybe that will help either way. Whether that does get us closer to this diagnosis or not, it's like, those are things that you have to do practically for yourself that are not mental health.
Right.
They're good for your mental health, but they're not like chemical imbalances.
Right.
You know what totally. I mean? It's like, not that that's the only thing.
And but it does make me think of like the slight chicken or the egg, where it's like, well, maybe I'm staying up late because of this.
Yeah.
Maybe that's, right. It's hard to know, but yeah.
Right. Maybe I've constructed a life where I don't have a boss and don't have structure all day because it's uncomfortable for me because that underlying issue,
yeah.
you know, or whatever it is. Because I don't like authority and I don't like other people's schedules. And I, yeah, need alone time. And yeah, Oh, all the symptoms? Okay, interesting, interesting. But
it's what do you think? Where is your relationship? I'm having a lot of thoughts right now. I really miss audiences.
Mm-hmm.
And I miss six-person group hangs.
Yes.
And even meetings, I was thinking about this with our meeting before this. I think one of the reasons we start those meetings where it's like, how's it going? It's like, fine. It's because you're in your fucking house alone.
Totally.
Talking totally. To a machine. And it's like, I think I need that to change in my life in some sort mm-hmm. of way, because I can feel that the ways I'm seeking out solutions don't work. We're like, for right. a while, I would really need to, because when we put out podcasts, you don't get the audience response. So I'd really mm-hmm. need to see what people were saying.
Right.
And then I found that that was really bad for my mental health. And so it's like, I don't do that anymore.
Right.
I wonder what, I'm just saying that statement. I don't really have a big thought about it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, it's all artificial and it's as close as we can get, but it's not the real thing.
Yeah.
It's not that far divorced from like porn is not sex.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like, yeah, of course porn is really unhealthy. It is a fake version of the thing you actually want. And you're convincing yourself that you're getting what you want and you're just not,
yeah.
you know? And it's like, yeah, I'm convincing myself that I'm seeing friends and doing comedy, but chair gets a little squeakier every day and I never leave my house. Yeah. You know, it's like, oh, I'm not doing the thing that I actually enjoy. I'm doing a replicated version of it, you know?
I think that's like, yes, yes. A huge yeah. frustration in my life is everything I do is like a replicated version of the thing I used to like doing.
Replicated. Yeah.
Oh. And it's like that exactly. And so it's like this
right
disappointed feeling of like, well, it's not filling that cup.
Mm-hmm.
It's like I just had cereal with this mixed oat and seed milk. And it was like, this isn't fucking milk, man. It's right. not thick enough.
Right.
And it's just, it's almost making the cereal worse that I'm not getting the nice right. creamy milk.
I think there's been something to COVID about like having to play every part of your life so safe.
Yeah.
Like the only thing that makes life fun is that it's a risk and that you don't always win.
Yeah.
Like you have to show up and see what happens. But everything we've been doing for the last 2 or 3 years has been like mitigate all the risks, make sure everything works, dial it in, whatever. And it's like, well, I'll do it, but it's okay. It doesn't feel real.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It feels fake because it is all like, totally fake. Even just getting in my car and driving to somewhere and being like, I wonder who I'm going to see when I walk into this building. I wonder how people are going to be when I'm in the same room as them.
Yeah.
And now it's like, I know how you are. You're sitting in the same fucking spot as I ever see you.
Yeah.
And same with me. And of course it feels like rote.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, it's not a real experience in many ways compared to what we're used to.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, you got to start. I got to figure out how to insert things that make me feel alive.
I don't even like go outside enough anymore.
Yeah.
Like every morning should start with like some sun and a little exercise or whatever. And I'm just like, well, I don't really have to do anything until the podcast later and then some writing later. And it's like, I've just been in my living room all day. Like, man, I don't have to be.
Yeah.
But I just like the inertia of it. If I'm sitting still, I'll stay still, you know?
Yeah.
I got to find ways to like put into my routine that I go out and see the world and remember all of its possibilities.
It really
especially
is.
Especially because just all the news I read is negative. Everything on social media is negative, or I'm jealous that I'm not doing something that awesome. And it's like, I gotta stop taking life through like a lens. Yeah. I got to just go outside and live it a little bit more.
Yeah, 100%.
You know? It's like how we wanted to go to the beach all summer. And it's like every time we did, best day of the week.
Yeah.
You know? And it's, I think it's just because we did something.
Yeah. And connected to something that like we enjoy. Like there is very little. It's so weird. It's so weird. Let me try to get this thought together. I'm reading The Great Divorce. If I'm reading something, it comes up because I'm proud that I'm reading something.
Of course, you're so smart.
And like, I'm only halfway through, so I don't know what happens, but it's the C.S. Lewis book about like the divorce of heaven from hell. And like one of the kind of theories that comes up in it is in the book, like heaven and hell are weirdly kind of connected and nebulous. And because of that, nobody makes any real choices. And there's no like real consequence or real, nothing really matters.
Right.
At least that's kind of how I'm interpreting it. And that's kind of how I feel right now, where like nothing is, like you're saying, everything's so safe. Like nothing is, nothing feels like it's for a reason. And so everything feels dissatisfying and empty.
Yeah.
And it's like a real capitalistic thing too, where it's like, what was the reason I was doing all this? So I could afford this thing that would make me not happy anyway. Like just kind of that feeling's weird right now.
Yeah. Those are heavy feelings. Yeah. They're definitely heavy existential. They feel like big existential belief feelings.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah, those are big. I don't know.
What is funny? Here's a funny thing. I want to say this. My mom's going to hear this. And it's a funny thing I noticed the last couple times we FaceTimed is somehow the FaceTime will be almost over. And I'll be like, all right, I got to go. And I think because she doesn't want it to be over, like a new topic comes up. But like within the past couple of months, twice, it's been the Holocaust. And it's like, because she's watching that Ken Burns like documentary on it, I think, right now. And it's such a funny thing because it's like, well, I can't cut out of this Holocaust conversation immediately.
It's also not really the kind of thing that's wanting to keep me around. That's so funny.
It's
must be on the mind.
Yeah.
For some reason, the Ken Burns, obviously. Oh, that's so funny. We did that the other day on our the episode that came out today that we did last week of like, all right, and one more thing. Yeah. Totally. I noticed that with my mom too, but it's like both of us. It's like both of us not wanting to be rude to the other person and be like, did you get to talk about everything you wanted to talk about? You know, like, and we always do. But
I used to have that. Funny. I'm sure this comedic idea has been explored, but on dates where you like don't really know how to like get that first kiss in, but you're done, you're in the car, you're whatever. And it's like somehow you are talking about the most empty stuff just to like keep this away from silence. And it's
the boldest lie anyone has ever seen.
Yeah.
That guy was kind of weird at the ice cream. Or, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
It's all totally like out of the blue from 2 hours earlier.
What's the next World Cup?
Do you remember that Vuvuzela thing? Those were everywhere.
Vuvuzelas. You really had to put your mouth on those, huh?
It's kind of like doing a kiss, but outward.
Hmm. Who invented the chimichanga?
You know, I was thinking about who invented the chimichanga. That's a great
it's a great question, isn't it?
What do you get for coming up with really good questions? Well, Dan, I'm glad we checked in. It's important to have a place to chat and to share your feelings, and I'm glad that we did today.
Me too. You know, the Holocaust was almost 80 years ago now.
I do have to get going.
Okay. And it was, you know.
Although I'd love to talk about this.
It just, you know, it's quick. 80
years,
the way,
huh?
Quick the way things
All right. Well, I'm glad we got it nailed down how long ago it was. All right. Good. Well, we'll see you later. And no, if you do want to talk about it, we can.
No.
I'm sure you have lots of fresh info on it.
I've got a new take on the Holocaust.
Actually,
it was wonderful. The chat, with all you all out there. And the Big Grande tour dates are live. They will be on the Mandog feed or on biggrandewebsite.com or on any of our socials. So check those out.
That's right.
If you live in the Midwest,
Chicago,
or Northeast.
Detroit, Toronto, Rochester, Westerly, Rhode Island, New York, New York, Pittsburgh, Cincinnati, St. Louis. I think that's all.
Nailed them. With workshops to be taught.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
At some of those cities, too. So
that's right. Come learn how to be like Big Grande.
Yeah.
In workshop form only.
One of the worst things possible is to take a workshop with us because you want to do improv like us. Because it's like, this is barely good when we do it. I don't think anyone else should do this version of it. It's like not a thing we can teach.
Well, we teach the ground rules, yes, which we all follow, but we just go too fast.
Yes,
you know?
Exactly.
So it's okay. Dan, I love you, buddy. And I also love Hannah. And I love Brian. And I love Casey. And I love Annie.
Yes.
And it takes a freaking village to make this pod. And we appreciate all the help we get. Also appreciate all the patrons for sticking with us, giving us those donations every month. We really appreciate it. And I'm going to go have lunch because of it.
Wow. Thanks for lunch, everybody.
Thanks for lunch, guys.
Bye.
Bye.